Good Morning Pensacola, Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
And that's why this afternoon it's my privilege to posthumously award Charles James Kirk our nation's highest civilian honor, the Presidential Medal of Freedom. Thank you.
And so, honestly, President Trump, I have spent 7.5 years trying to find the perfect birthday gift for Charlie. And it's so difficult. And those of you that have spouses or loved ones, you know how difficult it is sometimes to buy a gift for someone that you love. Because he wasn't a materialistic man, so that also did not help. But now I can say with confidence, Mr. President, that you have given him the best birthday gift he could ever have.
President Trump yesterday awarding the Presidential Medal of Freedom to Charlie Kirk posthumously, and his widow Erica talking about how, you know, best birthday gift ever, because it was on his birthday yesterday. It would have been his birthday yesterday. And, you know, I like the little, like, side note about how he wasn't materialistic, because if he had been, that makes it easier. When somebody's materialistic, it's easy to give them gifts, you know? Like, you can, you know, I'm a foodie. You can always get me restaurant food. You know, I'll always take food. John, I think you are also in this same category.
We'll take food.
Very easy.
I'm not denying that one.
She goes on, and I've, you know, we covered this last hour. Covered it. If you want to know more what I thought about President Trump's comments, I did that a lot in the first segment on the podcast page of the 5 o'clock segment. You can listen to that there. But I just thought what Erica had to say was, as always, just so good, so rich, and you know what she just talk about her husband, but even when she's not talking about her marriage, she's talking about marriage, right? She's showing you, you know, what a marriage can look like, and it's inspiring and it's irritating. I mean, it can be. Well, because nobody has a perfect marriage. Nobody does. Just like when somebody talks about what a good life looks like, and you're like, yeah, I know. I want to get there someday. I mean, honestly, everybody, I am sure to my core that there are things in the Kirk marriage that were not great. Because every marriage has things in it that are not great. And so, and she's not talking about that kind of stuff. But anyway, it's wonderful. It's wonderful to have a public demonstration of what marriage can look like.
It's such an honor and the recognition of a life lived for defending freedom. And that's what Charlie fought for until his last breath.
And again, the idea of having free speech, particularly free speech, is not to coerce anybody in how they do it, but to foster and facilitate and empower them to find their voice and to say whatever is in them, their God-given image inside of them, to say it authentically, even if you want to correct them, but still not to diminish their capacity for authentically choosing it. I mean, you want them to choose what you're saying, but you also want them to choose it. And that's the thing that you're always affirming.
When we defend liberty, we defend the soul of our nation. My husband never told anyone what to say. He never did. He never told anyone what to say. He would just encourage them to think. He would encourage them to think outside of the traditional political labels. He would want them to think in a way that was anchored in wisdom and truth. But he would never tell anyone what to say.
Yeah, and to consider different perspectives and to think beyond what they know and to challenge people when they think poorly, not to try to intellectually club them over the head with your better knowledge, although he was guilty of that. Anybody is who's good at debating. You just have to, you know, try to moderate that as much as you can.
Charlie wasn't content to simply admire freedom. He wanted to multiply it. He wanted to multiply freedom. He wanted young people to taste it and to understand it and defend it. He wanted them to see that liberty isn't self-indulgence, it's self-governance under God. He wanted them to see that.
Yeah, the notion that freedom is to do whatever you want, that's just, you know, being enslaved to your own passions. That's not liberty. Liberty is fulfilling your God-given purpose in life and maximizing the quality of your life, which is always going to come in obedience to God, not coerced obedience, but voluntary, submitted obedience. I mean, that's the idea. And if you, we talked about this last hour, and I when I used to do my ethics classes, we would spend, I don't know, half hour, hour, at least half of, if not an entire, I'm trying to think back, it might have even been multiple days we would spend on this, the relationship between liberty and prosperity and freedom and law and all of these things, because people just sadly don't always understand that. It's normal enough. What was I reading yesterday? That the vast majority of Americans say the First Amendment is extraordinarily important, but some incredibly small percentage can actually name all five of the key freedoms mentioned in the First Amendment. And something like a quarter of people can't mention any of them. Oh, yeah, First Amendment. What's it say? I don't know. Oh, it's not great.
He stood for truth and stood for freedom, and he did not. Everything else was just a noise to him. And it's because his confidence in Christ was absolute. That's why. There was no limit. No limit to what he would have sacrificed to defend freedom for all. And if the moment had come, he probably would have run for president, but not out of ambition. He would only have done it if that was something that he believed that his country needed from a servant's heart standpoint.
I love that. He would have run for president. You know, hey, Mr. President, he would have run for your job. Maybe. You know, I thought it was kind of an entertaining moment. We'll come back to this in just a second. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. I-10 eastbound between 9 Mile and Highway 29. Starting to see some major delays in that area. About a 10 to 12 minute delay through that construction zone. And let's see here. Highway 90 southbound coming into Pensacola. You're going to see about a 10 to 12 minute delay in that area. I'm John Biggins with your traffic on the fives.
All right. This next part of Erica Kirk's comments are a little, they'll catch you. And I don't want you to be surprised by that. But, you know, if you've listened to her talk before, you know she's a very passionate, emotional person. And she's talking about her beloved husband who just died. So it's understandable. But I think it's important to hear this. Here goes.
Charlie lived only 31 short years. I was 32, but on this side of heaven, but he lived every single second. He lived He filled every single day with purpose, and he fought for truth when it was unpopular, and he stood for God when it was costly. But that's what we're called to do. Surprisingly enough, he did pray for his enemies, which is very hard, but he did. He did. No one else, I mean, I saw him do it. No, he never did it in front of anyone else, but I can attest to that.
There was a comment earlier. The reason they're laughing is because the president was standing beside her when he was saying this. And he kind of shrugs and smirks and put his hand up like, well, what can you say? Because, you know, he had made a comment, and he's made his comment sort of in this vicinity a couple of different times. Here, I'll play it for you. This is from earlier when President Trump was speaking.
5 weeks ago, our nation was robbed of this extraordinary champion. He was a champion in every way. I got to know him so well. He didn't like losing. And he was able to fight people that were enemies, and he didn't necessarily love those enemies so much. You know, I heard he loved his enemies, and I said, wait a minute, is that the same Charlie that I know? I'm not sure, but I didn't want to get into it.
And he said this before, that the idea of praying for your enemies, forgiving people, you know, loving your enemies is something that he struggles with or maybe doesn't agree with, or, you know, there's sort of various versions of this for President Trump. But it has come up before, and she was, of course, kind of, you know, following on that, responding to that and saying, no, Charlie really did, and she continued.
And before I close, I'll share with you that I asked our daughter what she would like to say to Daddy for his birthday. Excuse me. She said, happy birthday, Daddy. I want to give you a stuffed animal. I want you to eat a cupcake with ice cream, and I want you to go have a birthday surprise. I love you, is what she said.
And then the son, who's younger.
And while our son is precious, he can't yet speak. In classic Kirk family fashion, his actions spoke louder than his words, and his gift to you, Charlie, and myself for that matter, was deciding to become the man of the house and be fully potty trained at 16 months. But Charlie, baby, I know that you're celebrating in heaven today, but gosh, I miss you. We miss you. And we love you, and we promise we'll make you proud. And
her kind of concluding remarks during this event yesterday.
His story reminds us all that to live free is the greatest gift, but to die free is the greatest victory. Happy birthday, my Charlie. Happy Freedom Day. God bless you.
So you can see why I wanted to share that with you. It's pretty, pretty amazing. And you've heard me criticize some of the proposals for naming things or honoring Charlie Kirk that I thought were misfires, like the campus, naming a street on every campus, or even naming a street over by, Scambia High School. Presidential Medal of Freedom, 100% appropriate. I even thought maybe, I'm naming a naval ship after him. Might make sense. There are all kinds of ways to, and by the way, the street one, just as a, I don't know that I said this, and I probably should. If at some time in the future, after some reflection and, if local, if a university wants to name a street, of course, that's their business and fine. If, we want to name a street, that's fine too. It was the knee-jerky kind of reactionary way to do it that I thought was really misguided. And you have a long conversation about, who he was, what he stood for, what he believed, what he advocated. There's so much misinformation about Charlie Kirk and what he has said. And I'm not saying I agree with everything he said. Good Lord, I don't agree with what I say. a lot of times you ask me, do you agree with yourself? Not always. A day later, maybe I change my mind. Right, John? Sometimes it happens.
No, I've never heard this before. This is an epiphany from you.
Oh, yeah. No, one of the most common, it's my favorite compliment that I ever get. And people tell me this all the time when I bump into them out in public, and they'll say, oh, man, I love your show. I don't agree with you all the time, but I love, what you're doing, and you make me think. And I always think it's funny because people always feel the need to, clarify to me that they don't always agree with me about everything. But I love that. If people always agree and they like the show, I'm just a reflection of them. What does that mean? It's when you like listening to somebody that says things you don't agree with or that you disagree with or that frustrate you or upset you. Like good art. this is a parallel. Or like the letter from Bishop Walk that, I didn't like all of it. Good. Did it make you think? Oh, yeah. Huh? Interesting. I cherish that compliment that, I don't always agree with you, but, I value listening to it. And what I often say to them is, oh, that's fine. I don't always agree with me. Catch me in a couple of days. You never know. I might change my mind, or I certainly have over time. I don't mean to get into autobiography here, but it is worth knowing. One of the things that I think gives me an advantage, and I don't know whether this is true for Charlie Kirk, but I know it's true for me, is one of the luxuries I have historically is I have believed almost everything that I don't believe right now. On almost every issue there is. I have been on the other side at some point. Not all of them. There are a couple that don't fit that, but almost everything. And that gives me a luxury of understanding those perspectives and thinking of them as the kind of thing that people might well believe sincerely. And so that gives me a very different way to talk about those ideas. That's why when you hear me talk about them, I can explain them like a person who believes them would explain them, because I've believed them in the past. It doesn't mean you have to stay there forever, but, understanding it. Anyway, 437-1620, your thoughts, if you want to share them with me, agree, disagree. You want to call me names, or you want to tell me that you disagree with me all the time, but you still love the show. That's fine, too. Those are my favorite compliments. I love that. Hey, one of our relatively new advertisers, although I've known her a long time, the owners of Mathnasium are dear, close friends of ours. But if you have a kid who's struggling with math, and there's all kinds of ways kids struggle with math. Maybe they were really good in the second and the third grade, but now in the fifth grade, they're not. Maybe they had a bad teacher, or maybe they had a teacher that didn't resonate with them. And maybe what that means is they didn't pick up a crucial skill. Maybe they do great up through sixth grade, but then, algebra hits and like, oh, I don't understand. Or trig, or geometry, or whatever. Or even, and honestly, it could be kids who do well in math, but they want to do better. Well, Mathnasium works with all those kids. It's very close tutoring. It is very small numbers. The mentor-student relationship is, you know, very small ratio. It's very good. And they're very selective about who they hire. And I say this because, you know, my wife is such a great homeschool mom. And, like, her emphatic thing is they will learn the language and they will learn math. And my oldest son actually taught at Mathnasium for a year. Loved it. And loved interacting with the kids and getting them to be able to see how to do things that they don't know how to do. And tweaking and fixing and remedying the things that have fallen through the cracks. Because if you don't get it right now, every year it just gets harder and harder. And a lot of times what you find out about a kid in the 10th grade who's struggling, you know, with, you know, trig, let's say, or, you know, whatever, is that he never really learned something very basic. Well, you can fix those things. And that's what they do at Mathnasium. How do you know what your kid needs? Go talk to him. The first thing they always do is an assessment to figure out where the kid is at. That's completely free. Go do an assessment. It's that simple, and then you can, you know, work from there. Mathnasium is located next to Marshall's in the Fresh Market Shopping Center at 9th Avenue and Airport. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
I-10 eastbound between 9 Mile and Highway 29, seeing some delays, about a 10 to 12 minute delay through that construction zone. Also, Davis Highway southbound headed toward Olive Road, seeing some slowdowns there. And also Highway 90 coming into Pensacola, experiencing about a 10 to 12 minute delay. Traffic is at a crawl at that location. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Here's today's Strength for Life with your host, Pastor James C. Johnson.
Some people believe that Jesus came into the world primarily for social reasons. They believe he came to feed the poor or heal the sick. The truth is, the primary reason Jesus came into the world was not social at all, but it was spiritual. Luke 19:10 explains that Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. Mark 10:45 says that he came to give his life a ransom for many. Spiritually speaking, we all have a serious sin problem, and God gave his only begotten Son to die in your place and in mine to make atonement for our sin. Jesus came as a medicinal healing balm for a sin-sick people. I urge you to admit that you're a sinner and call upon Christ to save you.
That was James C. Johnson. He serves as the pastor of North Stone Baptist Church in Pensacola, Florida. For more Strength for Life, please visit our website, strengthforlife.church.
Hey, this is Dr. Ben McMillan. I do a show on the Pensacola Expert Panel. We talk about your health problems.
Let me educate you about the Activator Method of Adjusting, which offers a safe and effective alternative to traditional manual adjustments. So whether you've been hurt in a car accident or been suffering from back or neck pain, chiropractic care could be your solution and not just a temporary fix.
Join me this Friday on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
You take care of your car, right? So why not give your auto loan some TLC? Refinance an existing loan from another institution with PennAir Credit Union and lower your interest rate by up to 2%. Plus, you can skip payments for the first 90 days. In addition to a better rate, you'll enjoy convenient banking and a friendly local team always ready to help. Learn more at PennAir.org/auto-refi. That's PennAir.org/auto-refi. All loans are subject to approval. Offer valid on loan application submitted between October 1st and December 31st, 2025 only. Call toll-free 1-877-4-PENNAIR for complete details.
The I-10 Wired TechNet CyberCoast Summit returns October 29th to Pensacola Beach. Presented by IT Gulf Coast and Blue Angels AFSEA Chapter, get connected with top-level cybersecurity, AI, and emerging technology experts. The conference features a free career fair, prizes, and an amazing welcome reception on Pensacola Beach. Discounts available for students, military, and government employees. Visit itenwired.com for tickets.
News Radio 92.3 gets you live programming every day from 5 a.m. until 7 p.m. on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
How do you get shirts so clean, Mr. Lee?
Ancient Chinese secret.
Good morning, 729 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. And if you can see Antonio Banderas in a black outfit dancing on top of a bar in Mexico, then you have seen Desperado enough times. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, Israel and Hamas have started talks now on phase two of President Trump's Gaza peace plan. The Wall Street Journal says mediators from both sides have returned to the negotiating table today to discuss the next phase of the plan, which calls for disarming Hamas, new security arrangements under an Arab-led force, and post-war governance in Gaza. Family members of Sandy Hook shooting victims say they are now focused on enforcing that huge judgment they got against Alex Jones. The Supreme Court yesterday rejected an appeal of the billion-dollar judgment owed by Jones to the victim's family members. He was found liable for repeatedly claiming the massacre was a hoax.
Yep, I saw that. They declined that and a few other cases as well. A very interesting case out of Colorado regarding, you know, pronouns and kids and teachers and parents. Very interesting. We saw Tron Ares yesterday. I really enjoyed it. I will give you one note. This is not a spoiler. There's one note. You should go watch the original Tron first. You'll appreciate having that in your mind.
Fox News, I'm CJ Papa. The Israeli military saying today that forensic examination of one of the first four bodies handed over by Hamas does not match any of the hostages. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu through an interpreter.
We will spare no effort and no means to return them. I believe that with this method, we will first receive news about the return of additional deceased hostages, I hope in the coming hours, but we are determined to return them all.
Total of seven bodies have been returned. Israel waiting for the remaining 21 other bodies. President Trump awarding the late Charlie Kirk the Presidential Medal of Freedom.
In the wake of Charlie Kirk's assassination, there have been examples of hateful rhetoric posted to social media. And now the State Department says the United States will kick out foreigners who hurl these kind of invectives and has revoked the visas of six individuals.
That's Fox's Lucas Thomason reporting. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 7:31 at News Radio 92.3. It's the start to another beautiful day. We've got 63 and sunny right now in Pensacola. We'll get to our forecast with Brooke Richardson in just a few minutes. Motorcyclist was hurt in a crash on Michigan Avenue yesterday. That happened about 5 o'clock last night. The Florida Highway Patrol says the rider was headed east on Michigan towards Marseille Drive. Two vehicles in front of him had apparently slowed down to turn onto Marseille when he went around and accelerated. That's when he crashed into an SUV that was turning out from Marseille onto Michigan. He was taken to the hospital with a non-life-threatening injury. Nobody else was hurt in that crash. The family of 22-year-old Luca Kukoc, who was killed in a head-on collision with an alleged drunk driver, is calling on Florida lawmakers to amend the state's Dram Shop Act. Luca's mother, Rita, is suing the driver, Leslie Highstreet, alongside the bars that served him alcohol prior to that crash. She argues that current laws protect establishments from liability and allow them to overserve patrons without consequence. The Kukoc family says they want to raise awareness and push for accountability to prevent future accidents. Now, there's new details emerging regarding three lawsuits initiated against Jay Hospital and Baptist Healthcare. In February, it was reported that several hospital employees had allegedly captured unauthorized and demeaning photographs of patients without their consent. These images were allegedly shared on social media. Zarzar Law is currently offering a $5,000 reward to anybody who can provide photographs that are corroborated and verified as being authentic. UWF is considering the removal of Juneteenth as one of their eight paid holidays for employees. Dropping the event from the calendar falls in line with a series of decisions the university has made to purge DEI initiatives recently. The Board of Trustees will vote on that proposed calendar change December 11th at the University Conference Center. The annual Foo Foo Festival returns later this month, featuring art designed to enhance the Pensacola skyline. Afterburn is a kaleidoscope of colors inspired by the Blue Angels. That piece would appear above Intendencia Street, officially opening October 30th through the end of the 12-day Foo Foo Fest and into the 2025 holiday season. Well, a convicted killer from Hillsborough County is dead. He was executed last night at the Florida State Prison. The Florida Department of Corrections said Plant City's Samuel Lee Smithers died at 6:15 Eastern last night. He killed two women almost 30 years ago. Smithers is the 14th person Florida has executed this year. Senator Ashley Moody says she wants details on what she's calling an unprecedented collection of records and information on lawmakers. Senator Moody said yesterday she and other Republicans want records relating to the FBI's efforts to secretly obtain phone data from members of Congress. The data was part of the FBI's Arctic Frost investigation under President Biden. In a joint statement, GOP lawmakers say the Biden administration's weaponization of the federal government should shock every American. It is 7:35 at News Radio 92.3, and let's get a look at our traffic on the fives. Good morning, John.
Well, good morning, David. Brought to you by Executive Landscaping. Call them today for all your commercial and premium landscaping needs. Still rolling accident-free right now, but not delay-free. I-10 eastbound between 9 Mile and Highway 29. Seeing about a 12 to 15 minute delay in that area. Also, Highway 90 southbound coming into Pensacola, experiencing about a 12 to 15 minute delay in that area. Also, I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
We will have a beautiful sunny day today with a high near 84 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 67. For Thursday, mostly sunny skies, high near 83. Thursday night, temperatures dropping near 70 degrees. Going into Friday, sunny weather with a high near 82. And by Friday night, temperatures dropping near 72 degrees. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. And right now we've got sunny skies, 64 degrees here in Pensacola. Our next news at 8 o'clock, and we've got breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. President Trump said his administration is considering terminating business with China having to do with cooking oil in retaliation for Beijing refusing to buy U.S. soybeans. China has been the top buyer of U.S. soybeans by far, but it has not bought a single American soybean in months amid an ongoing trade war. Shares of LVMH popped 13% this morning after the French conglomerate posted growth for the first time this year and vowed to solidify its leadership in the global luxury space. The company added that it will reinforce its global leadership position in luxury goods once again in 2025. Deloitte found that 57% of U.S. consumers expect the economy to weaken in the year ahead in the most negative outlook since the consulting firm began tracking sentiment in 1997. On average, U.S. consumers plan to spend 10% less this holiday season as they seek out deals and anticipate higher prices. Futures are moderately higher. Tuesday, the Dow Industrials gained 202. That's Your Money Now.
You can find Subaru dealers all along the Gulf Coast from Panama City to Biloxi, but you'll only find Anderson Subaru in Pensacola. And among all those Subaru dealers, it's Anderson Subaru who's ranked highest by Google in customer satisfaction, 4.8 stars and climbing. Thank you to our loyal customers for your trust and to our incredible team for delivering the care and commitment Subaru owners deserve. You're going to love Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Car City, Pensacola.
For details, call 877-554-9791.
Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
Hi, I'm Mansfield Coe from Pensacola Hardware. We are your best local and regional resource for industrial construction and hardware supplies. Daily, we meet the needs of Pensacola's construction companies, providing superb knowledge and code-compliant products. We specialize in concrete and masonry tools, fall protection products, and tools and supplies for the HVAC, mechanical plumbing, electrical, and glass trades. Give us the opportunity to show you why we are Pensacola's oldest and best hardware and construction supply company. Pensacola Hardware, 20 East Gregory Street, downtown.
If my dog Ginger could speak English, you'd hear her say she wants her own doggy vacation at Play and Stay Pet Daycare when I go on vacation. But since she doesn't speak English, I'm going to translate. What's that? Play and Stay Pet Daycare is the only pet daycare in Pensacola with an on-site veterinarian. And they're cage-free with large indoor and outdoor play areas where you love to run and romp with your friends. So where are they? That's right. Play and Stay Pet Daycare is at 4220 North Davis Highway, across from Bailey's Farmers Market, online at olivebranchpethospital.com. Who's a good girl? Yeah.
Join Stephen Schmidt, Marine Service Technology Instructor at Georgetown Technical College for Boat Smart on the Pensacola Expert Panel this Friday at 10 a.m. Key Marine sponsoring the show. When Key Marine needs to hire Marine Service technicians, they hire students from Georgetown Technical College. Have a boating question for Stephen? Then give us a call at 437-1620. It's a dream team, so join them this Friday at 10 a.m.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Hey, Pensacola, get ready for a midday delight that'll have you hooked. Weekdays from 11 until 2 on News Radio Pensacola. Tune in to the Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show. Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, and Scott Robbins are their dynamic trio that'll keep you entertained, informed, and laughing out loud during your lunch break. They dish out the hottest topics, bring you the latest news, and deliver their unique blend of humor and insight that'll have you coming back for more. It's the Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show on News Radio Pensacola. 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
Good morning. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. And Mayor D.C. Reeves, the mayor of Pensacola, has made some time for us this morning, as he does every Wednesday. Hey, Mayor, welcome back to the show, sir.
Morning, Andrew. How are you?
I'm doing great. You are getting ready here in about 80 minutes. You're going to do a groundbreaking for the new airport terminal, right?
Yeah, that's right. You're familiar driving on, it'll be right there before you get to the existing terminal on your right. We will have the official ceremony. And again, as me and you have discussed, it'll be a couple of year process. But nonetheless, the official groundbreaking happenings, you'll start to see in and around the airport now for an extended period of time. But we're excited. Actually, we just calculated fiscal year.
No, did we lose him? We sure enough did. All right, well, I assume he'll call right back, so hold on here just a second. There we go. Mayor, are you there?
Hey. Yeah.
Look at how I managed to reconnect you while I'm talking on the radio, on the air. Multi-talented. Sorry about that. Sorry about that.
No, go ahead. It's all right. Glad to get this project started. We've been talking about it for a long time. We just got our fiscal year final numbers in from the airport, $3.11 million. So another 3% increase over the all-time record last year. And so very, very much needed to be able to get these five new gates, new concession opportunity, and to continue to see our airport grow.
And we should expect to be able to be using that terminal, December, January of this year, maybe?
Yeah, exactly. You know how quickly projects move.
Years?
Remember, I was going to say, I think it'll be in 27. Be the goal. So
in
2 years would be the goal. So, we'll use seasons, Andrew. That's the key. You say summer, it buys you a few months, fall. 27, that's the strategy to use when you're this far out.
Okay. Looking forward to that. That'll be fun today. Also, you talked extensively about this yesterday, but I know people have questions. The repaving of Palafox is something that has to be done because of the gouge work that was done with the undergrounding utilities and all that repair. That's $3 million that got put into the fund by FPL for that. But we also have this reimagined Palafox, which is all of the decorative brickwork and the changing of kind of everything across Palafox. You got $9 million in the bank budgeted for that, but the bids came in. And I know you can't say a lot of details, but it sounds like the bids were higher than expected. And I think the real question people have is, are you going to do it all in one chunk, or are you going to do it in segments? Because you talked about how doing it in segments really doesn't make any sense, both from a mobilization and from an impact perspective. But you tell me, what's the plan?
Yeah, quickly, before I go into that, I think it is important to point out, and because there's lots of conversation and there's lots of media reports that are kind of one-sided in the sense that they say, well, man, what is this going to do for local businesses? And that your point is important to understand, is that no matter what happens, if we decided tomorrow to not do Palafox, if we decided tomorrow, we still have a multi-week full shutdown of Palafox happening. And in fact, that's really why we have prioritized Palafox ahead of some of the other hashtag conversation over Maine and over. And think about your own household. If your car breaks down, all of a sudden your priorities change. If you're going to have to drive to work anyway, you're not going to say, well, let's keep going with what we already were deciding a year ago. Well, no, if you need a new vehicle to get to work. And so that's the way we look at Palafox. Palafox has $3 million of work due to take place on it, no matter what. So there is no zero-day closure that's even available at Palafox. What we're deciding is, do we want it to be closed for 10 or 12 weeks, or do we want it to be closed for 20 weeks and have a transformational opportunity? So in terms of your second question, it clearly from the bids that we saw that we are going to be doing the Band-Aid approach, and the contractor will be paid handsomely in a bonus for that.
When you say the Band-Aid approach, what does that mean?
Sorry, that's all at once.
Band-Aid. Gotcha. Okay, the do it all at once and make life horrible, but for a short period of time, and then it'll be better quickly thereafter.
That's correct, and so there'd be a 10% bonus if they're done by Memorial Day, a 5% bonus if they're done somewhere in the June 13th area, and they have to be done by July 3rd. Have to be like. Doesn't matter if we delay it, rain, they have to be done by July 3rd. That is how the RFP was written. So again, and why are we putting up those dollars? We're putting up those dollars to help our businesses locally. We want this shutdown to be as low in terms that we don't want it to be as big an inconvenience that most construction projects are. And as you heard me say in the press conference, if someone's got advice on how to have a transformational construction project that doesn't create any inconvenience whatsoever, then please let me know. There's just never been one. But we know that on the other side of Memorial Day is a net positive. That's great for our community, great for walkability, and great to continue to push the vibrancy of our downtown.
And in case people didn't catch it, one of the key things you had said before, but you also said yesterday and today as well, is starting in January, as early in January as possible, let's get past the holidays and go. So that we are not encroaching upon, post 4th of July kind of stuff. We're talking to Mayor D.C. Reeves. Mr. Mayor, hang on for just a second. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
I-10 eastbound between 9 Mile and Highway 29 seeing some major delays, about 12 to 15 minutes there. And Highway 29 southbound of 9 Mile Road seeing about a 15-minute delay in that area. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. Back to Mayor D.C. Reeves. Just one quick thing. I know you can't get into the numbers just yet because you're still in the process of having the bids looked at and evaluated. But, I mean, are we like in the close ballpark to what you've got budgeted, or are we still looking for a delta, and is the delta very big?
Yes, we're in the ballpark.
Okay.
And if there's one misnomer in 3 years of this job, this is probably a perfect highlight example, which is someone on social media sees the amount of money and says, well, why don't we feed the homeless with that? Why don't we do all these other things? Why don't we fix this or that? Well, the $3 million from FPL, the vast majority of these funds are urban core CRA dollars that would have to be spent in the urban core of the CRA, cannot be spent legally anywhere else. And so, when you see someone saying something like that about any project, usually about 95% of the time, very little general fund dollars go to anything except public safety, where they can go to anything in the world. This is yet again another one of those projects where these dollars that are going to be allocated towards this are specifically earmarked for uses that are not just anything that the city or someone in the city would like to do with them.
Well, I'll give you this amount of cover. Putting money into making Palafox beautiful is absolutely a city priority. Giving money to hungry people, I don't think that is a city priority. That's a very important private charitable thing to be doing. That's what we do with our tithe money. But I don't have any qualms about the city not doing that. So that's kind of a silly. If people are saying that, it's quite a silly thing to say. The soccer complex or the soccer team coming here, where are we at?
Yeah, we continue to have conversations with them. I know they're talking with folks in the community. We've helped facilitate some of those conversations, whether it be folks that could be potential owners or just important community stakeholders, community groups that would make a team successful. Their feedback has been very positive that our market could support a team, but it comes down to the elephant in the room, which is where are you going to play? And we long term, the Wahoo Stadium people say, well, why don't they play there? It's really not sustainable there from a baseball conflict standpoint, as well as a East-West FIFA Sun playing into the Sun standpoint.
They want fields laid out north-south so that you're not staring at the Sun when you're playing either direction. Is that the idea?
Exactly. And even that's not like the primary thing.
Okay.
At the end of the USL model is having these downtown, vibrant areas around the stadium, not temporary bleachers in an outfield. That's not necessarily what they envision or what's been successful for them.
Got it.
But if you look at examples like Spokane, like Colorado Springs, USL is very aggressive in building these facilities right now. They've been doing it. They have a bunch under construction. They certainly know in 30 plus years what they're doing. So, positive conversations continue. And if we can, find a location that makes sense, then I think it'll ramp up even faster.
If it's the same scale, the one in St. Louis is amazing. And it is, you would not look at the one in St. Louis and say, oh, sure, we just make that at Wahoo State. It just doesn't work. I mean, it's just not compatible. So if that's the same kind of thing. Bay Bluffs Park, you've got a meeting, discussion coming up pretty soon, right?
Yep. Yeah, we have actually, Hollis T. Williams on the 21st at Cobb Center, 6:30, will unveil the overall vision And remember, this is we hired MVDA as our designer. They designed Brooklyn Bridge Park. I mean, they one of a world-renowned designer that's been on this team. The team's done a great job. We've had about 30 community meetings. And so this will be to unveil kind of the overall vision of Hollis T. Williams. And then the conversation is going to start boiling down to how much construction money do we have to do phase one and what does phase one look like in the near term. But so that'll be exciting to see and to share with the public. And then on the 22nd, the next day at Vickery Center, 6:30, is the Bay Bluffs Park meeting, as we're calling a listening session. maybe we should have worded it better. Someone said, well, I don't want to sit and listen to you guys. I was like, no, we're listening to you guys. This is not come listen to the mayor for an hour. Let me just be clear. We're there to listen to you guys. And you tell us, you know, your memories of the park, what you like about it, what you don't like about it, what would you like to see? And so that's our first opportunity. And I do believe we'll have our consultant on. Remember, that was up in the air, whether we would or we wouldn't. But I believe at last check, we will have our consultant on and present there to be able to help facilitate that.
Very good. I'm going to ask this question. It's going to make me sound like an idiot, but I'm going to say it anyway. I have seen the pictures on Studio 850, but I still kind of don't believe there actually are houses going up on Old Stinky. Like, it's actually in the process of it's gone vertical now, right?
That's right. Yeah. There's, you know, again, the 260-ish units, I believe, on the west side are, yeah. I mean, you can see the elevator or the fire stairwells are already all the way up. And then, you know, yeah, we got sticks going in the air. So, you know, that's not only good for property tax, it's good for economic development, and it's good for our local businesses to have. I mean, you think 260 units, you're going to probably have 500 people downtown. We saw the injection that Southtown gave our downtown 10 years ago, 8 years ago. I think this could have a similar impact. That's that many people eating at restaurants, going into shops, all of those different things.
I know some of the residents had raised questions to city council and in other venues about egress and where, you know, where is that traffic going to go, presuming that there is going to be traffic there. To your imagination, have those questions really been solved adequately?
Excuse me. Yeah, listen, I think every aspect of these projects, and listen, I'm all for, you know, public input and concern, and I'm not saying that when things like that get brought to us, it isn't something that we can take a look at and all that, but you know, I also defend our staff in saying, and this comes up about stormwater down there as well all the time. You know, let me defend our staff for a second. It's like, we don't just take somebody's word for it. I mean, somebody doesn't come in with a 260-unit project and then decide where they want to put a driveway as if we don't do any, you know, technical, you know, assistance or requirements. Stormwater requirements are required by law. So when someone says that gets built, and oh my gosh, and now these other things are going to flood, we have to prove, they have to prove that they are in that net zero or improving the stormwater outcomes down there. So, you know, again, I'm all for, you know, folks, you know, having the opportunity to complain about something or whatever they want to do. But the point is we've got a pretty good staff that's been here a while, especially in the engineering department. And these are things that we look at, and we obviously want to pick the best option for the community that makes the most sense. None of that has really changed at this point, and we don't really see that there was going to be any viable alternatives of where ingress and egress would be.
And by the way, I also wanted to compliment you. I thought your comment yesterday about the Sanger protest was very appropriate, saying that, look, this is why we have a public forum. People can come and share their views, and that's democracy in action. So, you know, I very much agree with you about that. We always like to end with a lightning round, quick questions. First question is, when you drink water, are you drinking it from a plastic bottle, from a glass bottle, from the tap, from a filter? What's your water primary source mechanism?
We have one of those big gallon things that goes in the refrigerator that makes me feel like it's filtered, but then I wonder how often we replace it. So maybe it's not, you know.
Okay.
But it's the, you know, whatever, the placebo effect or whatever you'd call it.
Right. It makes you feel better about life. Okay. All right. When you go to drop off something at the post office or the library and you have one of those pull down kind of metal bins that you put the materials in and then you let the drawer go back, do you double check to make sure that the mechanism worked?
Yes, and this goes back. I would work at my summers when I was like 11 or 12 years old, work at my dad's law firm, and I'd have to drop the FedEx and UPS stuff off.
I gotcha.
And I, you know, those were important lawyer letters, so I always walk it all the way in. I got to see it go all the way down.
I gotcha. And then in driving, are you a lane changer always, sometimes, or never? And the key test here is if you pull up to a stoplight and there's two cars in your lane ahead of you, but there's no cars in the other lane, are you changing into the other lane or are you staying where Grandma stays in the third position?
Oh, we're always maximizing performance.
Thank you.
So around here. So, yeah, we absolutely. I mean, there's not even burned into my subconscious at this point is a lane change to the free lane.
It would give you the heebie-jeebies to sit there and not change.
I am courteous. If it's a right-hand turn lane and I'm not going right, I will stay to the left. That is also, I don't know if we can make a city ordinance about that, but you know, you can't block the right-hand turn
by
yourself if you're going straight.
I think you might be talking about 9th and Tippin, but that's a conversation for another day. I hate that intersection so much. Mayor D.C. Reeves, always a pleasure, sir. We look forward to the city council meeting next week and talking to you next Wednesday. Have a great trip to D.C., by the way. And sorry you won't be getting to see the White House, but maybe next time.
That's right. Yeah, it'll be good. Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. Yeah, 7:56 on News Radio 92.3. We've got the groundbreaking today, and then he's going to D.C. for the mayor's council. They're going to be meeting with some staffers from, and they were supposed to get a White House tour, but the shutdown. Bummer.
Well, you still go knock on the door.
Yeah, no, I don't think that's really allowed. John Pickens has got traffic on the fives. John?
Okay, well, I-10 eastbound between 9 Mile and Highway 29 still experiencing about a 7 to 9 minute delay through that construction zone. And also Highway 29 southbound, just south of West 9 Mile Road. Seeing some major delays there, about 12 to 15 minutes. It's really a lot of traffic in that area. Other than that, we look good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Join Jonathan Cook from Jonathan's Flooring and Construction today at 9 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Jonathan will be sharing his years of expertise on flooring, including insight on materials, installation, and maintenance, plus lots of great advice on home and office remodeling, including the kitchen, bath, cabinets, and more.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
Joann Fabrics may be closed.
They're closed?
But you'll find all you need at Darrell's Sewing of Pensacola.
Darrell's?
Yes, Darrell's is the largest sewing and embroidery machine dealer in the Pensacola area, offering lots of fabrics, sewing machine furniture, sewing and embroidery supplies, and notions. Financing is available, and there are lots of classes scheduled for this fall, so get registered now at sewinginpensacola.com.
That's Darrell's Sewing of Pensacola?
Yep, at 6705 North Davis Highway between Creighton and Burgess.
You know what you want to do in retirement, but do you know how to get there? Tune in to What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair of Swan Capital, Saturdays at 1 to get answers to your retirement planning questions. Plan today so you can do all the things you've dreamt about doing in retirement. Don't miss What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair, Saturdays at 1. Firm offers insurance services. Advisory services offered through Swan Capital, LLC.
Hi, I'm Terrence A. Gross. As many of you know, I am a local board-certified personal injury lawyer, and I have practiced in this community for almost 40 years. Our law firm handles only people that have been injured due to the negligence of another. Join me this Wednesday at 10:30 on Pep Talk as we discuss all aspects of personal injury law.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, Pep Talk. Mornings at 9, right after Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Me.
Yep, Valerie loves me. David Wayne is in the newsroom with a headline for us quickly. David?
Well, good morning. Authorities ending their search for those two people still missing after the remnants of a big typhoon pummeled Alaska's western coast. The U.S. Coast Guard and state authorities there ending their search following days of rescue efforts.
All right, David, thanks so much for the update. Coming up next, many press outlets letting lapse the deadline yesterday on the Pentagon's new press policy. We'll talk about it and analysis from retired General Keane.